Okay, today's daf is Kuf Dalet. We're going to start way back at Kuf Gimel Amud Bet at the top. If you remember, we started this Mishnah. Okay, we'll deal with the first part first today, first at the beginning of the shir, and then the second part later. So we'll just review the first part right now. The main point we're going to deal with right now is the first line, which is Hagozel et chaveiro shvei pruta v'nishbalo with Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Yolichenu acharav lemadai lo yitain livno v'lo lishlucho aval noten lishleach beitin. So we learned that if you steal, and then you swear it, I didn't steal anything, and then you admit, oh, I did, called Ashem Gzelo, you have a chiyu, because it says, La'asher etnenu lo, La'asher hu lo yitnenu, he has to actually give it to the person, therefore, he can't send it with anybody else, meaning, what do you mean you can't, what if you did? If you did, and it never got to the person, well, you're responsible, and you have to make up the loss. And from here, we're going to get into all sorts of dinei shlichut about at what point do you assume, you know, are you still responsible if you send with a shaliach? At what point are you no longer responsible? Those in the Bava Metzia shir, we learned it last year. So now the issue is, according to the Mishnah, what does it say? You have a chiyuv to return this item, right? The gazlan has to return the item directly himself only in the event when the expenses are huge and it's really, really far and it's almost impossible. So then he can send it. The only other option he has besides sending it on his own is, you know, bring it with his own hands, is to send with the shliach beitin. Okay? That's the Mishnah. Later on, we're going to see a different interpretation about can you send it with any shliach beitin. We're going to see. But right now, the assumption is that this is a chiyuv specifically related to a case where you're nishba, right? An Asham Gzela case, where you swore falsely, because remember, we talked about yesterday, you now create this situation where you're chayav both ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom. And then the other issue that I didn't bring up yesterday, which is you can only bring the korban asham after you've returned the item. So your kapara cannot be complete until this item gets to the guy's hands, and then you do your korban.
So that raises shlichut issues also of how do you know when he's actually got it if you've sent it with somebody else?
Right. It's a good question about whether, so if you've sent it in a way, like you've given it to the shlach beitin, then you can already, that's enough to allow you to do the korban. Okay, but if you send it with someone who you're not allowed to send it with, then you can't do your kapara until he actually gets it.
Is that a rule that
it's not that. It's just that this has an additional component of kapara that you're going to need. Okay? This added kapara that you get, you know, both, you have to do the chomesh payment, and it's not just the keren, it's the chomesh. At the end of the shir, we're going to get to what's the chomesh payment. Is it, we're going to talk about, is it a gift, like for kapara purposes? Is it part of the kapara din that you need to kind of give an extra kind of thing, or is it a chiyuv mamoni? Okay, is it that you actually owe money? Okay, and then there's going to be different ramifications if you go either way. So the first thing the Gemara says is nishbalo in, lo nishbalo lo. The assumption is this whole halacha of it must get to his hands. It's the first line in where it says Gemara, the sixth line of Kuf Gimel Amud Bet. But if you didn't swear, in other words, you just stole, and maybe you said I didn't steal, but you know, you didn't swear about it, then it wouldn't apply, then you can send it with a shaliach. So now, what do we say here? If you assume that that's the implication of this Mishnah, mani, this Mishnah is according to lo Rabbi Tarfon v'lo Rabbi Akiva. Doesn't match anybody's opinion. Now, you see Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva have an argument about something else. The assumption is going to be connected. Ditanya, gazal achad mechamisha, ve'eino yodea eze behem. Classic case of sfeikot. Right? This is, we had the guy who married and he didn't know which way he betrothed his son to one of five women. Okay, this is, he steals from one of five people. By the way, this comes up in Yevamot there. Okay, we saw this there. So he steals from one of five people and he doesn't know which one. V'kol achad omer, oti gazal. Right? Everybody says, oh, he stole from me. Me'niach zela b'nehem u'mistalek. Tiber Rabbi Tarfon. I don't know if mistalek is a chiyuv or more like you better get out of there quickly before they all jump on it. Okay, so all you need to do is pay the gzela. You don't actually have to return it to its owner because you don't know who the owner is. Rabbi Akiva Omer, which would then be like our Mishnah, right? What does our Mishnah say? You don't actually have to get it to him, right? You just have to do your job of giving it to someone to give to him. Follow? But remember, we're going to say this doesn't match either opinion, and we're going to see why. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo zo derech motziato mideh avera, ad sheshalem gzela l'chol echad ve'echad. This is not the way you're patur from doing an avera. Until what do? You have to give to each person a payment. In other words, you stole a loaf of bread. You have to give each guy a loaf of bread. You're not patur from your chiyuv klape, you know, yourself, klape shamayim, until you give each one of them. Okay? Now, so now, money. E Rabbi Tarfon. Now notice it doesn't say anything about if you swore. This is just regular gazlan. Okay? So the first assumption is, okay? Af E Rabbi Tarfon, af agav di ishtaba, amar meniach zelami benehemu mistalek. That's what did we say? Our Mishnah said, if you swear, then you have to get it to him. And Rabbi Tarfon said, even if you swear, right, the assumption is this would be either swearing or not swearing, because it didn't specify. So if you swear, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you could just be niach gzela, and that goes against our Mishnah. And Rabbi Akiva, it's going to be the opposite. Af agav dilo ishtaba, right? Rabbi Akiva said, whether you swear or whether you don't swear, you have to give to each one. And our Mishnah said, only if you swear do you need to give it to each one. So af agav dilo ishtaba, amar ad shishalem zela l'chol echad v'echad. Okay, so therefore, we're kind of stuck. It doesn't match either one, because if you want to say it in very simple words, it seems like Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva's machloket is in either case, in which case, there's not going to be a distinction. Our Mishnah made the distinction between whether you swore or whether you didn't swear. So now they say, no, li'olam Rabbi Akiva hi. The first way, we're going to have three possible answers. The first one is, li'olam Rabbi Akiva hi. V'chi ka'amar Rabbi Akiva ad shishalem gzela l'chol echa ve'echad. Okay, when he says, right, you have to pay each one, that's hecha de ishtabahu hu de ka'amar. Okay, in other words, even though the Mishnah didn't, I don't know, is this a Mishnah? Or, no, it's a Braita. Even though the Braita didn't say so, it's supposed to say that it's not, it's actually a Mishnah. Even though the Mishnah didn't say so, it's in a case where he swore, and therefore, we're Master Rabbi Akiva who says it's got to get, right, the rightful owner has to receive it for you to be patur. My time, Tamar Kratla, Sherhulo Yitnenu Biyamashmato, and that's exactly what he relies on, our Pasuk. It has to get to his hands. So therefore, in the case of the Safek, you don't know who it is, you got to give it to every single person, because you're not going to be clear until you've actually paid the guy. Virabi Tarfon, so what's he going to say? Afagav di ishtiba, even though you swore, so if you're going to assume it's talking about a case where he swore, why wouldn't Rabbi Tarfon make you return it? Why is it enough to just put it in the middle? Avi Rabbanan Takanta. This again goes back to what we talked about, Takanat HaShavim. Remember, the swearing case is a case where we want you to come, right, you swore falsely, and then you admitted, I swore falsely. So if we want people to admit they swore falsely, then, and you're going to make it that you're going to have to pay five times the amount, no one's going to admit. So therefore, even though it says in the Torah, this is interesting, right? It says in the Torah, you have to actually give it back to him. But the rabbis made a takana to override that, basically. Okay? And therefore, that's why he doesn't need it. Ditanya. And here we're going to have a different takana they made. And we're going to say, just like they made a takana there, Rabbi Tarfon says you make a takana here. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok omer, takana gola etkinu, she'im haita hotza'a yitera la keren, mishalem keren v'chomesh lebeitin, umevi ha'shamo mitkaper lo. This is what we talked about in the Mishnah, that if the expenses are so great to find the guy, let's say the guy lives, he moved really far away, and now you'd have to take out tremendous expenses to return it. And here they say, if the hotza'ah, I mentioned this yesterday, is greater than the amount of what you stole, then you can just give the keren and chomesh to the beit din, and then, exactly like what we said before, at that point you can bring your asham. As soon as you bring it to the court, you're allowed to now bring your korban and get kapara. Okay, so what do you see? Just like they made a takana in the case of our Mishnah, they also made a takana when you're returning it to a potential five people and you don't know which one's the gazlan. For Rabbi Akiva, so what's he going to say? If they made the takana with the ket, right, with your hotza'ot being greater than your keren, you're allowed to bring two shalech beitin, why did they make a takana in the safek with the five people? And why does Rabbi Akiva say you have to pay times five? So what will he answer? Ki avid rabbanan takanta hecha diyada leman gazle kamahado lemamona lemare. He says when they made the takana, it was in a case where you knew who you were giving them, you knew who you were returning the money to, and the assumption is that the money will get there. But in the case of the five people, if you just put one in the middle and someone's going to take it, there's no way to know that the guy's actually going to get it. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, in that case, I don't make a takana. Right? The rabbis didn't make a takana in that case. Right? Gazal, achad me'achamisha, delo yada laman gazle, delo hadra mamona lamare. Right? There's only a one in five chance that the money's actually going to get back to its original owner. In that case, lo avi rabbanan takanta. Right? But to allow you to give it to somebody else, you know, a beit din, which is responsible, and they'll get the money to the gazlan, then we make a takana. Okay, that's all the first reading. So the first reading is that the Mishnah with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, with the five people, and we don't know who it belongs to, that's in a case where, I have to remember now, where he swore. And then it's going to match Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That's what we said now. But Mativ, Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Now he's bringing a brayta. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Lo nechleku Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva al shalakach achad mechamisha ve'enu yodea me'eze mehem lakach. They weren't arguing in a case where there was a sale going on. In other words, they were talking about a case where there's gazlan, right? Somebody stole and he needs to return it to one of five people. He doesn't know who. Let's say there was a case where somebody bought something and he doesn't know who he's... You know, somebody paid him money, and he now owes the item. We've talked about this many times, that they didn't necessarily give the item over at the time they paid. So, somebody gives him money, and then he goes to give him the item, but at this point, five people claim they're the ones who gave him the money, and he doesn't know who it is. So, in that case, they don't argue about a lokech. Okay? Sheminiach demei mekach benehem u'mistalek. Oh, sorry, it's the opposite. It's that somebody sold him an item, and he didn't pay for it. And they all claim, oh, you bought it from me. Sorry, I mixed up. So in that case, they don't, right? Lo nechleku, okay? Sheminiach tmei mekach b'nehem u'mistalek. Okay, they would all agree that you put it in the middle and mistalek. Alma nechleku, but what's their machloket about? Shegazal acha mechamisha b'nei adam ve'eni yodea me'eze mehem gazal. Rabbi Tarfon omer minech zela b'beinehen u'mistalek. Rabbi Akiva omer ein lo takana ad shishalem zela l'chol acha v'echad. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Because v'isal kadatach de'ishtaba, if you think that this was a case where he swore falsely and then he admitted, okay, like let's say people said you bought something from me, okay, and he said I did not and I swear I didn't, and then what does he say? Oh, you know what, I really did and now I want to pay up. So, mali lakach, mali gazal. It's all in the category of Asham Zelo, because remember it said, whether it's an Avedah, whether it's a Pikadon, right? Whether, all different scenarios that you swore falsely about, in which case there should be no distinction. So if their whole machloket is in Nishba, which is what we said before, the first answer, then there should be no distinction. It should be relevant also, their machloket, in a case of Lakach. Ve'od, and here's a second problem. Mativ Rava, Rava brings a koshi. Maaseh b'chasid achad shelakach mishnei b'nei adam v'lo haya yodea me'ezem hem lakach. There was a chasid who took from two people. He didn't know who it was from. Uba lefnei Rabbi Tarfon amar lo hanach temei mekacha b'nehem v'istalek. So he says, right, he comes for Rabbi Tarfon, he says, what should I do? I don't know who I bought it from. Who should I give the money to? He says, just put it in the middle. Ba lefnei Rabbi Akiva amar lo ein lecha takana ad sh'tishalem l'chol echa v'echad. Right? There's no choice except by paying each of them. Now, what do you see here? They have a machloket. What's the case? Did he swear falsely? What do you think? Well, what do... Yisal kadatach demishtaba chasid... demishtaba, if you thought it was a case where he swore, in which case, what do we see? That's where the machloket is. Chasid mi mishtaba b'shikra? If the guy was a chasid, what's he doing swearing falsely? No chasid would swear falsely. You understand? It's just a case...
Of a weapon. He bought it.
What is he swearing? No, he bought it. Yeah. Then he says, I swear I didn't buy it. Yeah. Okay? Or I swear I paid you the money already. Okay? He could swear I paid you the money. And then he says, no, I really lied. I'm sorry. And I want to give you the money now. But now he doesn't know who the money belongs to. So what we're showing here is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon have a machloket in this case. And this case, right, the first answer was to say they're only cholek in a nishba case. This can't be a nishba, where he was nishba l'sheker. Because how could a chassid nishba l'sheker? V'chi tamed de mishtaba v'hadar havi chassid. Maybe he did tshuva, right? Maybe he's a chassid now, And, right, maybe he wasn't a chassid at the time, he lied falsely. Vaha, don't we know, now here's a great example of when they use principles in the Gemara, there's these lines they like to say, like Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, right, okay, where they take it very seriously, right? They'll always ask questions, well, how could this say this if Rabbi Meir says otherwise? The Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Now you could say maybe there's exceptions, right? So here they have another klal. Kol hecha damrina maaseh b'chassid echad, o Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, o Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eli. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eli, chassidim d'meikara hagu. They were never bad. This is an assumption. If you see a story maaseh b'chassid echad, it's one of these rabbis. And these rabbis we know were never bad. So the assumption is the story was about one of them. And therefore, it can't be that they were bad to begin with, and therefore, it can't be they swore falsely, and therefore, it can't be the machloket's about only benishba. Okay. Ella, and as it could be the machloket's about benishba, but also below nishba. And if it's about both, then again, it doesn't match our Mishnah, where our Mishnah distinguished. Remember? Mm-hmm. Ella. Second answer. Lo olam Rabbi Tarfonhi. It's not Rabbi Yehuda, and the case was nishba. Let's do the opposite. We'll say it's Rabbi Tarfon. Umode Rabbi Tarfon hechad ishtaba. The case where their machloket is about is where he didn't swear. And in a case where he did swear, Rabbi Tarfon would agree that you have to return it, and that would exactly match our Mishnah, that you can't just binyach zela benehem umistalek. You'd have to give kaful chamesh, right, to each of the people. And that would match the opinion in our Mishnah that it has to actually get to his hands. My time. Why would that be that Rabbi Tarfon would agree in this case? Now we're going to flip what we said before. Because specifically, Damar Kralash, Shehu Lo Yitzneinu B'Yama Shmato. In other words, now Rabbi Tarfon says, no, that pasuk does apply. We don't override that pasuk because of a takana of the rabbis, that we want to make it easy for Gazlanim to return b'tshuva. No, the pasuk says it, and it says it only by Nishba. Therefore, in a Nishba case, I'll do that. Now we're going to have to explain Rabbi Akiva. Why b'she'eno Nishba? Rabbi Akiva, afal gav delo mishteba kanis. It's a knas, right? In other words, you stole. Now you don't even remember who you stole from. That's your problem. You don't have to pay pi chamesh, right? We don't care that you didn't swear. No matter what, you have to pay pi chamesh. You got to make sure the guy gets his stuff back. Okay. Rabbi Tarfon, michti hecha de mishteba lo sagya de lo hoda. My ear, my mecharsha hecha de mishteba. In the case where he swore, Lo saga de lo hoda, the Gemara Rashava de Kra hodaktiv. My iria benishba filu belo shvua nami. Okay, so now, in the case where he swore, is it not enough that he didn't admit it? My iria benishba, why does it say benishba? Afilu belo shvua nami. Let's go on for 1 minute. Titania moja rabbi tarfon. But Omer l'shnayim gazalti echam mikem mana ve'eini yodea eze mikem noten lezemana ulezemana. Rabbi Tarfon agrees, right? Shekfar hodam mipiatzmo. In this case, what do we see here? That even in a case where you just admit he didn't swear in this case. Listen to this case. He says to two people, "I stole from one of you," right? But I don't know from which one. In that case, what does Rabbi Tarfon say? You have to return to each one. So, why does it need to be? 1 second, I want to get the question exactly straight. Right. Even if what Rabbi Tarfon seems to say is that, is why does our Mishnah, according to this, say v'nishba? According to Rabbi Tarfon, what did we say? Rabbi Tarfon would say, if there's no shvuah, what did we say before? You can just put it in the middle. But if there's a shvuah, then you have to return it to the guy. But now we're learning that there's an in-between case. There's nishba and there's lo nishba. But then there's this in-between case where you didn't swear at all, but you were hodeh. You just come forward and admit. Now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, if you just come forward and admit without the Shavua, then you'd still have to return to each one. If that's the case, then the Mishnah shouldn't have used the term Nishba. It should have used the term Hoda. Understand? So now, the second answer was to say that we hold the Mishnah holds like Rabbi Tarfon. But if the Mishnah held like Rabbi Tarfon, it would have given a case that was less than Nishba. Even if you're only Hoda, you'd still have to give back to everybody. And therefore, that's not a good answer. So now we reject that it holds like Rabbi Tarfon, because it wouldn't match Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Ella Amarava. Of the Nishba case? Lo Nishba? Lo Nishba means you didn't swear, but we caught you, let's say. And Hoda'ah is you come forward on your own. If you come forward on your own, what he's really saying here is, if you come forward on your own, obviously, what do you want to do? You want to be a good person, and you want to do the right thing. If you don't want to do the right thing, you know, we want to just get you to return the item. So then, okay, return the item. We want to punish you. Punishment is you have to return the item. But if you come forward and you want to be, you want to basically, Rashi even says it, Uba latzei yidei shamayim. Clearly, if you're hodah, you want to come clean even klapei shamayim. If you want to come clean klapei shamayim, well, then you got to make sure that the guy got his property that you stole from him. In that case, you'd have to go the step farther and make sure he gets it. So if that's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, it should have said that in the Mishnah, if our Mishnah matched Rabbi Tarfon. That's the point here. So Ella Amarava, now we're going to have a different kind of answer. We started with saying, right, it was only Benishba, the Machlok of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, and Master Rabbi Akiva. Then we said, no, the Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Machlok is only Belo Nishba, and therefore our opinion matches Rabbi Tarfon, because he would even agree in Nishba. And he would make the distinction between Nishba and Lo Nishba, whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold across the board no matter what. So our Mishnah would match Rabbi Tarfon. We now said that can't happen. So in the end they say, there's a difference between their Machloket and this case. They're two different cases. Shane Matnitim, Rava says, Dekevan de Yada Leman Gazle. We saw this distinction before. In our Mishnah, we know who you stole it from. Ve'odele. Kevan de Efshar Lahadure, Mamona Lamare, Havele Kamanda Amarle, Yuhuli Biadecha. Hilkach Nishba, Afagav de Kamarle. Okay, let's stop for a minute. Since you know who you stole it from, right, and you admitted it, so since you can actually, lahadure mamona lamari, you can actually get the money to, maybe it's complicated, but it's a possibility, so therefore it's as if, it's like somebody says, you li biadecha. In other words, my, right, how would you read this? You li biadecha, that you're, that my, I'm trying to remember who's the subject here, right, the guy who you stole from is as if he's saying, this money is like a picadon in your hands, until you actually return it. Okay? And therefore, afagav de ka'amrele, yiyuli biadecha, what do we learn? Even though they're considered a picadon in his hands, kevan debay kapara, lo sage ademate liyade. Since he wants to get kapara for this, because he came forward and admitted, right? And that's what he wants to get, kapara. Therefore, he has to wait till it gets to his hands. And halo ishtaba, but if he doesn't swear, have gabe picadon. But if he doesn't swear at all, then it's just like he's got someone's stuff in his property. Ada'ate v'shakele. Okay, and therefore, the... right, until the gazlan comes and takes it. And therefore, he can send it in the hands of a shaliach if he wants. He doesn't have that extra chiyuv. So he's basically saying that here, since that we know who the gazlan is and there's a possibility to get it to him, therefore, you have to return it to him. Whereas the case where there were five people and you don't know who to return it to, then it's a different situation where already the chiyuv mamoni is going to be, you know, kaful chamesh. Whereas here, what did we say? Maybe it'll be up to two times the amount because maybe you'll have to be motzi hotza'ot to get there. But more than the karen, you don't have to pay to get there. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. Lo yitain, so the basic structure, right? We have three options of understanding where our Mishnah fits in with the Mishnah Machloka between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. In the end, we say it has nothing to do with it. Okay? Two options to say Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, and then we say basically, or actually the opposite, Rabbi Akiva first, then Rabbi Tarfon, and then we basically say it's a different issue. Okay, now we're going to get into really interesting shlichut issues. Lo yitain lo libano v'lo lishlucho. You can't give it to your son or your shaliach. Itmar, there's a machloket about this, about a different issue, which is going to connect. Shaliach sha'asa'o be'edim. Let's say you appoint a shaliach in front of witnesses. I want you to be my shaliach, right? The best you could think of is a miyapeh koch, right? Yipoy koch, you give someone power of attorney to do something for you. So, you do it, right? A power of attorney, there's different ways you could do it. You could have edim sign, right? Or if someone wants to pick up your thing in the post office, for example, right? You just sign a document that says, I allow this person, right? That's not so formal. But if you do it in a court or a You notarize the document. That's already like asa obeidi. So Rav Chista Amar, havi shaliach. He becomes your shaliach. Now, what's the relevance? If you're returning an item to someone, you owe someone money, you send it with the shaliach gets mugged on the way, are you responsible to resend the money? Or do you say no? If you say havi shaliach, right? So now the question is, if you appoint the shaliach to send the money, obviously the shaliach is just an extension of you and you haven't returned the money. But if the person who you're returning the money to sends the shaliach, okay, we talked about this in the Baba Metzia class, right? There's a difference between, and maybe we got to this in Daf also. There's a difference between, oh, obviously, in Gitim we did. There's shaliach kabbalah and shaliach holacha. Right? Shaliach holacha is someone that the guy who's sending it appoints a shaliach to send it. Obviously, you're going to be chayav achrayim. But if the other guy says, I'm going to send a shaliach kabbalah to accept it, then the question is, if he did it before Edim, then is it as if, right, according to Rav Chista, it's as if the Edim received it on his behalf. And therefore, the person who sent it is no longer responsible. But not everyone agrees with that. Rabba Amar lo havi shaliach. So now we're going to explain the opinions. Rav Chista Amar havi shaliach. What does he say? Lahachi tarte ba'ok me be'edim, delay kubur shute. That was the exact reason. Why else did he go to all that extent to find witnesses and make a real yipoy kach? Because he really wanted to make this guy responsible for his stuff. In other words, he said, why would he do this? It's not in his best interest, right? So why? But think about it. If I am owed money and my shaliach goes to get it from you, if I turned him into my shaliach so that he could accept it on my behalf and he gets mugged down the way and I'm going to lose my money because of that, it's not very smart for my purpose. So why would I do that? I would do it because if I don't do it, you won't return me my money. In other words, the only reason you'll return my money, and this is a case, obviously, where the guy doesn't want to return the money. It's too far. He doesn't want to go. What?
It's kind of onus.
It's onus, but it's not onus. The question is, who owns it? That's the whole question. Whoever owns it, in other words, if you're supposed to pay me back money, so it's your responsibility until I get the money. But if you're not willing to take that risk, then I'll never get my money back. So I'm willing to say, fine, I'll send a shaliach to your house, he'll pick it up from you, and I'll assume responsibility, and I'll hope for the best. Okay, I'm an optimist. Rabba Amar lo havi shaliach. Hachi kamar. This is, when I sent you a shaliach, I didn't mean to say, I'm sending you a shaliach and I'm assuming all responsibility. What did I mean to say? Inish mehem nahu. I think maybe you don't know very trustworthy people, so I'm going to tell you, I'm sending you a guy who is trustworthy. I think he's trustworthy. Isamach smoch. Okay? If you're willing, trust him and send me the money. Ibayit l'shadurei biyadei, shadur biyadei. In other words, and therefore, I'm making it easier for you so that you'll give me my money back. But I'm not saying I'm assuming responsibility. So that's where Rabba says, no, you don't assume responsibility. The shaliach. Tanan. So now we're going to bring a question on Rav Chista Shita, who said he is a shaliach. Okay? We learned this in the Baba Metzia Shir. Hashoel et hapara. Remember Shoel. Shoel, what's the deal with the Shoel? He's chayev in onsin. He has an extra chiv of onsin. The question is, when does the chiv of onsin start? He hasn't yet gotten the item, but the item's on its way to him. Okay? So, he's Shoel at hapara, and the mash'il, the guy who's lending it to him, shulcha biyad b'no, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho, he sends it to the guy with his eved, his son, his shaliach. O biyad b'no, biyad avdo, biyad shlucho, or in the hands of the borrower's son, or the borrower's eved, or the borrower's shaliach. Okay, now what would you say, right? If he sends it in the hands of his shaliach, the shoal sends his own shaliach, you would think he's immediately chayav and owns him as soon as his own shaliach gets it. Biyad shlucho shel shoal, umeita, and it died, ones, patur. Okay, the shoal is patur. Now, the question is, now what was their machloket about? Their machloket was about a shaliach shasa'o be'edim. So now the question is this a shaliach be'edim or not? If you say it's not be'edim, well then fine, it doesn't disagree with Rav Chista. Rav Chista only said, if you do a be'edim, it's going to be a good shaliach. Now this guy we're seeing, the shoal sends his shaliach, the shaliach is not havi shaliach, right? So if we can show that the case was a case where it was edim, we're going to say this contradicts Rav Chista. Because Rav Chista said edim is a shaliach, and this guy set up his shaliach with edim, and it's not a shaliach. So how can we prove whether it's with Edim or not? So the Gemara says very simply, Hechidami, Idilo asa be'edim, mena yadinan. How do we know he's a shaliach if he didn't set him up with Eidim? In other words, go prove that he's a shaliach. How are you going to prove he's a shaliach? Because you're only going to be able to prove it if we have Eidim who said it. So it must be Ela de Asa be'edim v'katane patur, and therefore kasha l'ruchista. What do you see here? Shaliach shasel be'edim is not chayav, right? It's not lo havi shaliach. So now the answer, just like Rav Chista answered in another place, and the other place we're going to see in a minute, k'de amar Rav Chista in a different place, that the shaliach talking about there is b'sechiru v'lekito. Okay, what's that? I'll give you one interpretation, because we don't have time to get into all of them, but either it's a guy who works for him by a salaried employee, you know, like his one of his servants, or lekito is someone who harvests his field. In other words, it's a guy, some people say it's someone who lives in his house. Okay, but it's someone who's clearly, everyone knows that he's the shaliach of that guy because he works for him. He's one of his workers. So therefore, it doesn't have to be a case where asa'o be'edim, you follow? And then it doesn't contradict Rav Chista. Rav Chista says this isn't a case that has to do with what I was talking about. So just like Rav Chista says it somewhere else, we'll assume that Rav Chista would say the same thing. Hachanami b'schir v'lekito. He would say the same thing in our case. Okay, no. Now we're going to go on to the next question on Rav Chista, and that's where Rav Chista is going to directly answer. You follow? There's a difference between Rav Chista directly answered the question somewhere else. He didn't answer it here, but we'll assume he would give the same answer here. Now we're going to bring in our Mishnah as a problem. What does our Mishnah say? Lo yitain lo libno velo lishlucho. Again, hai shlucho hechidami. What kind of shaliach would he be? Idil lo aso be'edim and ayadina. If he didn't make him with it, right? If he didn't set him up with edim, so how would we know it's a shaliach? Elalav daso be'edim. It must be that he set him up with edim. So Tirgum Rav Chista, this is where Rav Chista came in. He said, no, our Mishnah is talking about b'schiru v'lekito. Aval shaliach, okay, fine, b'schiru v'lekito. So now we have our answer. We brought two possible Mishnahs contradict Rav Chista. We said, no, Rav Chista would assume those cases are in shlichut be'edim, and if they did do shlichut be'edim, it would work. So now that's going to be the next question. Aval shaliach shaseo be'edim, mai, hachinami dehavi shaliach. Wait a minute. According to Rav Chista, if you set up a shaliach with edim, it works. So what's the obvious question about our Mishnah? What did our Mishnah say? It has to get to his hands. You can't send a biyad shaliach. The only option you have is shaliach beitin. Well, if it would have worked to send it with a shaliach shasao be'edim, according to Rav Chista, what should our Mishnah have said? You can also send it with a shaliach that, remember, that the nigzal, that the guy who was robbed, sends his shaliach, that his shaliach that he set up with edim, that should work according to Rav Chista. So why doesn't it say so in the Mishnah? That's what the Gemara is going to ask now. So if we're going to assume now that shaliach shaseo be'edim according to Rav Chista would work, hachanami davi shaliach, aditane seifa, if it says in our Mishnah at the end, aval notenu l'shaliach be'edim, so liflog v'linei b'dide, it should have been more specific. Shaliach shaseo be'edim hachanami davi shaliach, it should have said so. So why didn't it list that as a possibility in the Mishnah? So now there's two options. Either you could say it's really not a possibility for some reason, but that doesn't match anything we've been saying until now. So now we're going to say it's a possibility, but it wasn't mentioned in our mission for a particular reason. Why not? Amre lo psikale. It's not definitive. Meaning, shaliach beitin is always going to be okay. But a shaliach that you make be'edim is only going to be okay in which case? If the nigzal sets up, if the one who was robbed sets up the shaliach. But if the one who stole, the thief, sets up a shaliach to send it, it's not going to be good. So because of that, there's a distinction here. It's not definitive. And therefore, they didn't mention it in the Mishnah. That's what they're going to say. So shliach beitin, lo shnasa o nigzal, v'lo shnasa o gazlan. It doesn't matter who set it, who sets decides on the shliach beitin. Have a shaliach, it works. And therefore, psikale, it's definitive. But shaliach shaseo be'edim, Dechi asa'o nigzal, hu dahave shaliach. But asa'o gazlan, lo have shaliach. Okay, but the only way a shaliach shaseo be'edim is going to work, even according to Rav Chista, is the way we describe the case when we talked about Rav Chista. It's only if the one who wants the shaliach le'kabbalah, and who only one person can set up a shaliach kabbalah, and that's the one who's supposed to be mekabel, the one who's on the getting side, the receiving side. So therefore, lo psikale, okay, and therefore it didn't mention it. Now, the way we understand our Mishnah, now we're jumping a little to something else, which is, according to our Mishnah, what did we say right now? That the shaliach beitin, right, is definitive, meaning it works whether the nigzal set it up or whether the gazlan set it up. It doesn't matter who set up the shaliach beitin. Now they're going to tell us that if that's the way we read our Mishnah, our Mishnah is coming to disagree with a different Tana'itic opinion who doesn't think that that's the case.
Wait, but is Nigzal and Gazlan interchangeable with Kabbalah and Halacha?
Yeah, the Nigzal would be the Kabbalah, he's the receiving one, and the Gazlan is the sending one, he's the Halacha. Yeah, they would be exactly synonymous. So now they're going to say, La'afuke, this is all to disagree our Mishnah, Mehai Tana, from this Tana, which Tana? Detanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Shaliach Beitin, Sha'asa'o Nigzal, V'lo Asa'o Gazlan, okay, if the receiver set it up, O Asa'o Gazlan, or, and that's, when will it work? If I, let's just read it, I'll already tell you the end. It'll work in these two cases. Either if the Shaliach Lekavit, right, the one who's supposed to be receiving, the Nigzal, he sets up the Shaliach Beitin, or Asa'o Gazlan, V'shalach Halav and Atalat Shalom Yado. The Gazlan sets up a Shaliach Beitin, but not to give directly to the, not in a case where he's going to give it directly to the Nigzal. It would have to be a case where the Nigzal sends his own Shaliach to receive it from the Shaliach Beitin. And only when his own Shaliach gets it, you know, there's two options. Either the Nigzal sends it with the Shaliach Beitin, but then he's, what did we say in the Mishnah? He's patur as soon as that happens. He's done his obligation. He's finished. According to this, no. Either the Shaliach Beitin has to actually bring it to the guy's house, or if you want to have a shlichut situation, you could have it where then the Nigzal, the Kabbalah guy, the receiving end, he sends a Shaliach to receive it from the Shaliach Beitin. Now, why is that different than if he sends a Shaliach to receive it from the Nigzal, from the Gazlan, from the robber, where we said that's not going to work? Because when he sends it to the Gazlan, what's the whole motivation? He just wants to get the Gazlan to give up the money, right? He's trying to make it easier for him. Once the guy already sent it, stuck it in an escrow account, there's no difficulty getting it. So he's obviously sending the Shaliach in that case. There's only one motivation he could have, and that's to receive it on his behalf. So in that case, it'll actually work. So according to this Braita, they have a different approach. The Shaliach Beitin basically can only be set up by the Nigzal. If you want to say the Shaliach Beitin operates in place of the Nigzal, or if the Shaliach Beitin passes it off to a Shaliach of the Nigzal. Only in those cases will it work, but not in the case that our Mishnah said. And therefore, there's a machloka between our Mishnah and this Braita. Now we're going to talk about another Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. They have an opinion about this machloket, about Shaliach Sha'aseo Be'edim. De Amrei Travayhu, they both agree. That Shaliach Sha'aseo Be'edim Habes Shaliach, like Rav Chisda. Okay? Ve'itema Mishnatenu, what are you going to say? Now we're going to have the same questions that we had on Rav Chisda. Now, obviously, they could answer like Rav Chisda, which they're going to suggest, but first they're going to even answer a different question. B'mamtzilo Shaliach Da'amarle, in other words, you could say that our Mishnah is talking about a case where he makes a Shaliach appear before him. Da'amarle, yi'i lezuze gabi planya, v'lo kamashadu lehu, itchazile, dilma inishu, v'lo mishkach l'shadurele. In other words, we're now going to say that maybe that it's a case where he sends a Shaliach to say, you know, if you have money by so-and-so, I happen to be going to the place where he lives, and I'll be happy to bring it for you. Where it's obvious that he's not assuming responsibility. Inami kidra chista b'schir v'lekito, right? Or you could say, it's b'schir v'lekito, okay? In which case, both answers say it's not a shaliach shaso be'edim. It's a guy who happened to be passing through the town, and he said, oh, why don't you go remind this guy that he owes me money and that you'll be happy to take it for me. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ein m'shalchim ma'ot b'diukni. Okay, what's a diukni? Again, it's one of these things that they don't exactly know what it is. Okay, but a diukan is an image. The assumption is that people had these stamps that had an image that was reflective of, oh, this is my image. We saw it before where people drew pictures. In Gittin we saw it, that people signed their names with a fish, right? So it sounds like something similar, where he gives someone a document. It's like a yipoy koch that's stamped on with his seal. Even if there's Edim signed on this document and says, I want you to accept this on my behalf, you can send money. In other words, you can, but he won't be held responsible for the money. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, in Edim Chatumim Aleha Mishochim. He says, what? If you just send, okay, this is like the post office. If you just say, I'm giving power of authority to this guy and you sign your name, that's not enough. But if you actually notarized it and you signed Edim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that would be enough. According to Shmuel, it means you authorized someone to get it for you, but it didn't mean that you authorized them to accept it on your behalf. And again, the achrayut would still fall on the sender. Okay, and if something happens along the way, he'd have to replace it. So that's Shmuel's opinion. We actually paskin like Shmuel. So Amrei the Shmuel, they said, Shmuel, so my takanta. So if you're going to say this, then how is anyone ever going to send money with anyone? Nobody would ever want to do that if there's no assumption of responsibility. So how can you do it in a way that would work? Right, this is a good example where there's halacha, and then there's practicality. We've got to make this work. So in order to tell you how it's going to work, they bring an interesting story. If you remember, we had this thing about Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, who was the father of Rava, and Rava started asking him all these tough questions until he finally, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama stopped doing what he was doing with the Avadim. He was taking people's slaves and working and not paying them. So here, again, we see their interaction here. It's not so much their interaction, but it's Rava's protecting of his father. Okay, so Rabbi Abba, have a masik zuzeh bit Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. He owed money to Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama. Amale le Rav Safra, he said to Rav Safra, Bahadi da'ati, you're going to his town? So while you're there, Aitinu niale, go get my money that he owes me. Okay? I think I said it wrong. Rav Yosef Rachama owed money to Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba said to Rav Safra, when you go to Rav Yosef Rachama's city, go bring back my money. Ki azal lahatam, when he got there, Amale Rava Berei, Rava, the son of Rav Yosef Rachama, said, Mi katav l'chait kabalti. Did he write a document that says, I swear that I received this money? You know, in other words, I want guarantee that I'm not going to get into trouble later, and you're going to say, you never paid me back. You know, I want you to bring me a shtar that Rabbi Abba says, hit kabalti. Okay? Amar le, lo, I don't have such a thing. Yihachi zilbereshev yachtov l'chait kabalti. So if so, then go back. Get him to write you the shtar and come back to me. Okay, sounds like a good pitaron. Lisof, so what happens? He comes. He brings him the shtar et kabalti. See, Rebbe was a little of a tough guy here. Amar le, I katav lecha nami hit kabalti lav klumu. Hey, you know what? It's true I asked you to do that, but that's still not enough. Okay? Now you wonder, why didn't he tell him this the first time? But it could be, right? This is typical human nature, right? You say, wait, this isn't good, I need this. But then it comes to you, and when it's in front of your face, you realize, wait, I don't want this either. Right? How many times it happens to be like, until it's in your face, you don't really think about the ramifications fully. So when there was nothing, he's like, oh, that's no good, I need something. So he tells him something. Then when that comes, he says, wait. All of a sudden, I think something else could happen. What could happen? Hitkabalti is not enough, because dilma ada'atit, until you get back home to Rabbi Abba, maybe shachiv Rabbi Abba, maybe he'll die. Okay, some of them afreshim say he was obviously old, otherwise this wouldn't really be a chashash. Okay, but maybe he'll die. And what would happen if he died? V'nach l'zuzeh kameyatme. V'it kabalti l'rabbi Abba lav klumhu. The assumption is that this hit kabalti is going to kick in. He writes a shtarit kabalti, but it's only going to kick in when he gets it. So if between the time the shaliach gets it and the time he gets home, if Rabbi Abba dies, then the shtar will never have any validity. And the yatoman will say, I don't know what this is. My father wrote this, but he didn't even own the property at that time. He was dead. And therefore, the yatoman were going to come claim, we want our money back. So he basically says, that's not security enough. I need more security. So Amar Leh, Ve'ela Mai Takanta. So what am I going to do? Zil Nakninu Lach Agav Ara. Now this goes back to Kinyanim we learned about in Kiddushin. That you can be machne, how can you be machne something to someone? You can say, in other words, now what do we want? We want Rabbi Abba to be machne his schuyot to this money to Rav Safra, basically. He's going to basically say, Rav Safra, you're going to own this until you bring it back to me. How can he do that? Because he doesn't have the item in front of him, right? They're living in a different city. So he can give Rav Safra a small little piece of land, just a something, like a little bit of land. And through the karka, if you remember, it's called the Kinyan Agav Karka, he can acquire the loan. There's actually a machloket. I'm not going to get into it, but some people say it can't be, it's a loan case. You can't actually acquire a loan. Mm-hmm. You can't acquire. So it would have to be that this wasn't a loan case, like it sounded like from the beginning, but it was that he had money of his. He had asked him to watch money for him, let's say, to protect, you know, like a bank. He was watching his money for him. So you can acquire the money, Agavara, okay? Vita. And then you can come bring the shtarit kabalti, and with that, and with the fact that you've acquired the money, then I know as soon as I give it to you, it will be yours. Okay, and now they're going to say, Just like another case, he had a Rav Papa have a Masik tracer off his Zuze Bechozai. He had all this money in Bechozai. We've learned about this. Bechozai was this faraway place. Again, what did he do? Akninu Niale Rav Shmuel Bar Abba Agav Asefa Debete. Some people say this was the back of his house. Some people say it was the the Saf Habayit, the threshold. Okay, some part of his house. He was Makne to the Shaliach and Kiata Nafik LaApe Ad Toach. And when he, okay, so fine, before we even get to that line. So basically, he acquired it, right? So then he sent the shaliach to go get the money for him. And the assumption is, as soon as the shaliach got it, then it became his. And that was to make sure, because think about what a long way it was, the guy was never going to send the money with the shaliach unless he was willing to assume responsibility. And then Ki Nafik, it tells you the end of the story, Ki Ata, when he saw, imagine he had this money far out in Bechozai, he says to himself, I'm never going to see this money, right? Like, let's say you lend someone money and then they go off and move to America and then you think, oh, I'll never find these people again, right? You know, they're never coming back to Israel. When am I ever going to see them again? So it's like you think, I'll never get the money. So when the guy actually came back bringing the money, Nafik La'abhe Ad Tvach, he went far out to meet him because he was so excited that the money was coming. Okay. We'll finish a few more lines and then we'll stop here. Natan lo et ha-keren. Do you remember, what did it say? It said in the Mishnah, if you give him the keren, right, if the guy paid the keren, but he doesn't give him the chomesh, right, so then what did we say? He doesn't have to leilech ha-charav, remember? It's enough that he gave him the keren. If he didn't bring him the chomesh, he can send it with the shaliach. So, alma chomesh mamonahu. From here we can infer the chomesh is mamon. V'imayit, and if the guy was to die, it's a mammon payment, that's where I started off in the beginning. Is it a gift or is it mammon? So now they say, if we treat it as mammon, and imayit mishalme le yorshim. If the guy dies, his yorshim have to pay it. That's a big nafkamina, because if you say that it's a gift, and it's just so that you, it's part of the kapara, well then if you're dead, your kids don't have to do kapara for you, they shouldn't have to pay the chomesh. But now they're going to say the Yorshim have to pay it. Now we're going to bring two proofs and we'll end here for today before we get into other things about it. Utnanami natana tachomesh binishba ala chomesh. Right? Let's say you gave the keren, but then you swore that you paid the chomesh. Remember this? Hare mosif chomesh al chomesh. Right? You pay 1/5 of the 1/5. So what do you see here? Alma chumsha mamonahu. Right? Obviously then it's a mamon payment. If it was just kapara and it was a gift, well then, if you lied about it, then we wouldn't necessarily assume that you would have to pay chomesh on that. So therefore, it must be a mamon payment. Utanya nami, and another proof is Tanya nami hachi hagozelet chaverov v'nishbalo v'meit. If you steal from your friend and then you swear and then you die, yorshim mishalmim keren v'chomesh upturim min ha'asham. Okay, so now what do we see? Again, the exact same thing. The fact that the Yorshim pay, here we see, and first we just assume that that was the case. If you say it's mammon, then the Yorshim pay. Here we see there's a brayta that says the Yorshim pay, which would again, right backwards, go backwards thinking and say, that means that it's a mammon payment and not like a gift type thing. Now we're going to bring, for tomorrow, we're going to say, oh, doesn't this contradict another source? Right, where one implies that it's mammon and one implies that it's not. And we'll deal with that tomorrow.